From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. I'm hosting from home again for one more day. As I mentioned yesterday, a family member had a bit of a fever. We all decided to be safe, but everything is fine. No one has COVID. No one really has any symptoms. We're just being extra cautionary. New York, meanwhile, across the country is reopening today in limited ways with modifications. And if you have paid attention to their situation at all, you know how significant this change is for the state and city that have been hit so tragically by COVID-19. California, meanwhile, is in phase three in many counties. But here's a dramatic number, 6,541. That's the number of new COVID-19 cases in California in just the last 24 hours. 6,541. That's according to Johns Hopkins University data. This jump does come in the midst of increased testing. For example, the governor says more than 90,000 tests were done on Sunday, 80,000 on Saturday. But there's an increasing positivity rate too, which is the sign that it's not just testing. And there is the mask order for all indoor public places. It was put in place by the governor last Thursday. So here's what he said yesterday about the mask order. This is from his statewide press briefing.
The reason we're doing this is simple. Wearing face coverings saves lives. It mitigates spread. I think it's remarkable, just looking at this slide itself, the impact that we have as individuals, even when we exhale. You can just see from this slide, just taking a deep breath and exhaling, droplets can go as far as 4.5 feet. Coughs, that infamous 6-foot number. But look at that sneeze. When we sneeze, it goes far, droplets of 26 feet. It underscores the magnitude of opportunity we have as a state, I argue as a nation, to be more thoughtful, not only about ourselves, but about others when we are in public.
Even though you couldn't see the slide, by hearing those measurements and knowing that there's increasing research about masks and transmission of droplets, if you are interested, there are many ways to find more of this. And go to covid19.ca.gov, the statewide website, to be able to see some of the information the governor presented yesterday, including those slides. Now, he did say California's not into the second wave, not even out of the first wave, but he did not say much about the state budget agreement. CAP Radio's politics reporter Nicole Nixon is joining us to talk more about the big event yesterday. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning.
So let's hold on to the thought about the budget and stay with COVID-19 for a moment. The governor started out all about the battle, and very emphatically, he's getting a lot of pushback, though, across the state on the mask order.
Yeah, I noticed that he spent a good chunk, most of that presser, making the argument for why it's really important that people put on a mask and urge, you know, your friends and family to put it on, too, when you see them out in public. And it reminded me of when the stay-at-home order first came down, and he was really pushing the personal responsibility and using peer pressure to, you know, make the argument that it's safer for everybody if you follow these rules, even though he is getting pushback from some of the more conservative and rural parts of the state about masks, just like as we saw a few months ago with that stay-at-home order.
He talked a lot about the jump in testing, as I mentioned, but he also talked about hospitalizations going up. And of course, those key numbers are the ICU cases and then the loss of life in the state. And it was almost like we had rolled back in time to the alerts and the sort of heightened messages that he was giving to us, Nicole, in maybe March and into mid-April.
Yeah, it reminded me of that too, actually. But the difference is now everything is open again and reopened. So there is this sort of mixed messaging that I think confuses a lot of people. He was asked about that. And yeah, people are confused. The numbers are going up, but you know they're also able to go sit at a restaurant or go to a bar. So he gets asked about that, and you know, when he's asked about the case numbers, he is quick to respond with, well, you know, we've been talking about this for weeks, but we expect more numbers as we do more testing. We expect more numbers as we reopen. So we're prepared for that as well, because we have hospital capacity that we've been building up, and we have testing capacity that we've been building up too.
So going back to the basics, those messages of wash your hands for 20 seconds with soapy water and take your temperature if you feel warm are coming out again. Stay home if you're sick. Keep the distance. Use the hand sanitizer. I think that stuff is going to keep cycling, because I have not heard any indication, have you, that the state really would intend to go back to a shutdown? Because of that word dimmer switch, it doesn't seem like we would go all the way back to that March move.
Yes. And, you know, I've been covering these pressers for the past few months, and he has said, you know, if we have to, we will go back. But even yesterday, he said, we don't intend to go back unless things get really bad. Well, we're seeing hospital cases go up. We're seeing case numbers go up. And he's still saying, we don't intend to go back. He does say that, you know, local officials, local health officials have the ability to go back if they want to. But that's something we're just not seeing now across the state.
Okay. He did not talk about the budget in his prepared remarks much. There were slight references. But then in the question answer period with the reporters, more came up. California is facing this $54 billion budget deficit. And this, of course, is directly related to the economic shutdown because of COVID-19. The legislature modified some of the cuts that the governor had originally proposed, but where's the detail?
Well, you know, he dodged some of those questions about the budget, which I thought was interesting. I spoke to a few legislative sources who were not authorized to talk publicly about the deal, and they said that the budget agreement pretty closely resembles actually the budget bill that the legislature already passed. So keep in mind that that's their perspective, but that could be why Governor Newsom was reluctant to go too much into detail about the budget, because it could mean for him admitting that he made a lot of concessions on the cuts that he proposed in the May revision. So what I learned about the budget is that it keeps a lot of the same framework that the governor and the legislature already had. There's $6 to $7 billion in canceled spending that Newsom had proposed back in January. There's a big reliance on the rainy day fund. And there's the issue of federal funding, like you mentioned. This is something that lawmakers and the governor are really hoping for, about $14 billion in coronavirus relief funding from Congress. And some of their biggest differences in the negotiations is about what to do if that funding does not come and the state is left hanging. So Newsom had proposed $14 billion in cuts to education and health and social service programs. Lawmakers were not about that. They argued and fought really hard that it's important to keep those programs and that funding intact, especially during a pandemic. I mean, Newsom had proposed cuts to a program that helps keep seniors in their home, which is instead of having to go to nursing homes. And that's one of the most important things that could save lives during the pandemic. So instead of the cuts, I think they've settled on if that federal funding does not come through, deferring spending to education, school districts, and community colleges for a year, basically giving those entities an IOU and paying that money early next year. But that puts school districts in a tough position. If they're not getting some state money, they may have to borrow or cut their own spending.
I think it's interesting to hear some of the different ways that the governor was responding or was not responding. So here's a little clip. This is just a kind of a mashup of some of his answers.
Yeah, we made compromises across the spectrum. We'll be putting out much more specific details in the coming hours and days, and certainly through the week. Well, there are tax breaks we will benefit small businesses. You'll get all these details that'll be brought out in the next hours, as I said just a moment ago, days, and certainly over the course of the next week.
Okay, reporters were pretty frustrated with that. And what's he saying, that there's going to be another press conference where we have a budget chat?
Well, I don't know. And he said, you know, in wait and see, you'll have this details in hours. And I didn't get any details. I don't think that, you know, the bill is seeing changes. Haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But, you know, sometimes they send a summary of these things. You know, the May revise, I got a 200-page packet about everything that was in there. And nothing like that was sent to reporters yesterday. So had to do a lot of discussion on background about what was actually in this budget.
Well, he said there are tax breaks that will benefit small businesses. School districts have had to go ahead and work with the governor's proposed cuts. Many of them had to pass their budget for the next year already. He did say the whole discussion of the budget is not about disagreements, but that because they have a deal, it's about where agreement was found. And the truth is, Nicole, there's still time. There's still weeks, even into August, when some of this can be modified, when there's attention to these trailer bills. So there doesn't have to be the final say on a budget immediately, right?
Absolutely. And that's really important to keep in mind, that while there are these constitutional statutory deadlines that, you know, the legislature pass a budget by a certain day and the governor sign it by a certain day, they will absolutely be going back in to finesse and tweak some of these things in the coming months, especially because these tax deadlines got pushed from April to July. So the state still doesn't have a clear picture of what the revenues actually are. They'll get some numbers in August that kind of cement that picture. So late August, September is when I've been told that the legislature may be getting back together to run another fine-tooth comb through this budget and tweak it, depending on whether those revenues are better or worse than what's projected now, this $54 billion deficit.
Okay, and so we continue talking about health and talking about the economy and talking about socially how we're navigating it all. Thank you, Nicole. Good to talk to you today.
You too. Thanks.
That's Nicole Nixon. She's CAP Radio's politics reporter. We're going to take a break. Up next, kids and the stay-at-home order and COVID-19. How do we navigate the summer safely? You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.